Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. We are live and direct tonight. Live and direct. You already see what's going on. Whenever you see that call-in live number, 563-999-3714, that means that we are taking callers tonight. So if you hear anything or see anything that may pique your interest, I advise you to call in and let your voice be heard. Also, if you want to donate to the channel, you see the Cash App on top of the screen, Progressive Action 100. Make sure that you share out the live. We are going to take it there again tonight, people. We're going to take it there again tonight. We're not letting anything slide. You let some people take an inch. What they say, how that saying go? Next thing you know, there'll be electric sliding all over you. We're not going to allow that here at Progressive Action. So make sure that you share out the live. If you're watching on YouTube right now, hit that like button. If you're watching on Facebook right now, hit that like button. If you're watching on Twitter and, let me not forget Instagram. If we're watching on any of that right now, I advise you to hit that like button. We are taking it there tonight. Like I said, the phone lines are wide open. But I do like to hear from you guys, you know. I do like to hear from you guys. Get it cracked. Get it cracking, get it popping. Let me just open up my, you know, a lot of people tell me, Tramell, why you drink these things, man? Why you drink these things? I like to drink a Red Bull while I'm doing the show. It keeps me nice and up. Right? So the first thing I want to talk about today, yes, we are bringing back our annual assault rally. We are not safe riding the MTA. The assault rally is going to be on May 1st at 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. Strat Pangas, come join us. Workers, come join us. The community, come join us. Politicians, come join us. We are back. We are back. Our annual assault rally is back. If you look into the description of the video, you will see an RSVP link. I just need an idea because I know NYPD is going to call me and say, Tramell, give us, you know, how many people coming. So I just want to send them the link just so we could have an idea how many people plan on coming. You know, just fill out the link. Just hit I'm coming, I'm interested, no matter what it is. Hit that link that's in the bio. But our annual assault rallies is back right in front of 2 Broadway. I'm so happy. May 1st, that's May Day. For y'all that's not familiar with May Day, that's May Day. It's going to be lit. We don't care if it's snowing. We don't care if it's raining. We don't care if it's 100 degrees outside. We are making it go down. So make sure that you hit that link that's in the bio because it's going down, man. It's going down. And speaking, let me get my phone queued up the right way. Get my phone queued up the right way. Give me 1 second. Make sure I'm on point. Got to make sure I'm on point. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the hypocrisy of Local 100, right? Over a year ago, they announced that they have a new safety team, right? And I just want to read what's in the bold letters. June 17th. TW, and this was in 2022, just to be exact, right? TWU, Local 100 Secretary Treasurer, Richard Davis is restructuring and reinvigorating Local 100 Safety Department. We're embarking on a whole new approach to safety that will be more comprehensive, more strategic, and more member responsive, Davis, who also serves as Local 100 Director of Operations, said. We will be equally focused on addressing the unacceptable plague of workplace violence and the hazards posed by our work-related equipment assignments and environment. New initiatives are being developed to improve communication with the members, identify safety problems and trends, coordinate with the MTA security officials, educate members about safety protocols, upgrade existing safety protocols, and get officials to take mitigating actions, Davis said. Let me tell y'all something. That was a whole bunch of BS. That was a whole bunch of BS. Where is the safety? Seriously asking, where's the safety team? Where's the safety team? Members work in unsafe environments all the time. All the time. Where is the safety team? There's absolutely no safety team in the MTA. At least we don't see them, and they're not giving us anything tangible to relate to. Nothing. Nothing tangible to relate to. And safety is supposed to be paramount on any job, let alone New York City Transit, where, you know, train operators, conductors got to walk over live third rails, track workers, people who work in the tunnels, in the yards, they got to walk over live third rails on ballast, climb up trains, bus operators, the assaults, the verbal abuse. And I don't understand why they try to act like verbal abuse is supposed to be a part of this job. Any front-facing job, I don't care if it's McDonald's, postal worker, police officer, transit worker, why do they think that being verbally abused by the public should be a part of our job? Everybody's not built for that. Everybody is not built to be verbally abused on a job. It's a fact. But they want to act like, you know, yeah, you're not a real this or that unless you went through this and that. Like, that's BS. That's a whole bunch of BS. But seriously, there needs to be a real safety intervention in New York City Transit. There needs to be a real safety intervention. We are getting harassed every day. On and off the clock. And the MTA, what's funny about the MTA is that they want workers to come to work in uniform, basically, right? But they don't want to compensate us when we get harassed, when we get assaulted while we're in uniform coming to work. Like, this job is totally off the hook. And it was, you know, so funny. I was just speaking to a someone in another department, which was formerly, they was formerly a school safety officer. And they was like, look, these transit rules is off the hook. Like, school safety is NYPD, and their rules is not even, like, off the hook like transit is. Everybody know how punitive the MTA is and how laid back the union administration is when it comes to fighting the MTA. And we're going to touch on a lot of that going towards the end of the show because I got some videos to play. I have some screenshots to show you guys. But before we even get it. And wait till y'all see this transit appreciation thing. When y'all see this transit appreciation thing a little later in the broadcast, you guys are going to be very, I don't know what y'all going to be, surprised, upset. You guys are going to be something, right? So the next thing that I want to touch on is the relationship that our union administration have with the DAs, right? And mainly speaking, D.A. Darcell Clark, she has a horrible record in the Bronx. She, and it's for our union to love her, to advocate for her in the way that they do, right? After she let go, she let a guy go who stabbed a conductor in his back, literally, when he almost lost his life. She let him go after 2 months in jail. And the union administration loves her. And I just want to point this out to everyone. This is not me saying this. This is the media saying this. Woke DA Darcell Clark's worst conviction, this dismissal rates reason Bronx burns. They are blaming Darcell Clark for the reason why the Bronx is a lawless county. right? Now, I'm not buying into that woke stuff because all this woke stuff is an attack on black people. That's what that is. Whoever made woke a bad word is like wildly insane. But Darcelle Clark, she is worse than Alvin Bragg. This is a fact. She's worse than Alvin Bragg. And let's look at an excerpt of what they said about her in the newspaper. Clark, 61, also turned down more attempted murder and sex assault arrests over the last 5 years than every other prosecutor in the city combined, according to the data from the State Division of Criminal Justice Services. She declined to prosecute at least 101 attempted murder arrests of varying degrees since 2018, while the other four district attorneys refused to take a total of 80 attempted homicides arrest among them. Think about that. She declined to prosecute 101, but out of the other four district attorneys, they did a total of 80 attempted murder arrests among them. Think about that. Queens was second behind the Bronx with 37, according to the state data. The Bronx prosecutor also rejected 172 rape and 51 sex abuse arrests of varying degrees during that time period, more than the 166 alleged rapes and equal to the 51 abuse arrests declined in the four other boroughs combined. Let's think about that. This is Darcelle Clark. This is the DA that our union is championing. This is that DA. And even when I got arrested in the Bronx last year, it was very weird what her office did, but I get it. You want to know what? That's the only DA in the city that don't mess with me. She don't like me because I did a rally in front of her office about her letting go the guy who tried to kill our coworker. I could get, you know, why she don't like me, but there's a problem with the way that she's doing business. She have issues with the NYPD. She have issues with the residents. I don't know how she continues to get voted in. I have no idea. But she has an abysmal record. But why is Local 100 supporting that tyranny? Makes no sense. Maybe because she lets go of the sexual assaults, and we already know. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not even going to get into that right. That's probably going to be later to come. But there's something brewing. We're going to leave it at that right now. Another thing I want to show about is the subways, right? So this is what's going down in the subways right now. You have 9 shooting victims so far this year. Think about that. 9 shooting victims, and there was 8 shooting victims in all of 2023. And we are only in month 3. Month 3, 9 shooting victims. What is going on in New York City Transit? What is going on in New York City Transit? 9 shootings? Is this the city that Mayor Eric Adams is saying is safe? Is this that same city? Because I'm pretty confused. I'm confused. There's no way possible, especially with them saying the subways are safe. How is the subway safe? You got 9 shooting victims so far this year in month 3. We're averaging 3 a month when we only had 8 total last year. This is 100% out of control, 100% out of control. And like I said, there is a major issue going on with NYPD and their deployment. There's a major issue going on with that. The way that they deploy in these officers combined with officers who like to hang out, hide out rather in employee break rooms and things of that nature, it's sad. And nobody's holding the police accountable for letting people go through the gates. And I'm going to show you guys something, because what they're trying to say is a lot of the people who's committing the crimes are evading the feds, but what they don't understand is the role that NYPD plays in this whole entire thing. They don't understand the things that NYPD or the role that NYPD plays, right? Like I said before, you can have a NYPD officer in the same station as a station booth clerk. The person will always go to the station booth clerk and ask the clerk to let them through the gate. The clerk will be like, no, it's not their job. They will go to NYPD. NYPD will let them through the gate. And it creates a hostile working environment for the transit worker. Why isn't NYPD and transit on the same page? Why isn't NYPD and transit on the same page when it comes to that? And I want to show you guys this video. I want to show you guys this video. Check it out. Now, that was NYPD letting people through the gate. Now, like I said, the NYPD narrative and the MTA narrative is the people who's committing the crimes are not paying the fare. And just to show you guys another example, check this out. That was the picture of the guy who got shot in the train, who pulled out the gun after he got stabbed up, right? They saying, oh, you know, he walked through the gate, then he came and the system started this fight and all this stuff. But how do we know how many people are being let through the gate by NYPD and they coming into the system committing these crimes? Now, of course, what NYPD would say, well, the people that we let through the gate, they didn't commit no crimes. They have no way to really know that, right? And even to touch on the incident with the guy, I probably want to play that video. I want to see if I could pull up that video. Just to bring up the incident with the guy who got shot. Let me see if I can find that video. I want to see if I can find that. Yeah. Is this it? Yeah, let me load this video back up. Make sure that this is it. Yeah. Even with the guy who got shot after pulling out his gun and having his gun taken, I want to have a conversation about that a little bit. I'm going to play the video again as soon as this finished loading up. But I want to know, how do you guys feel about what really happened? All right, we've seen the black guy get at the other guy, right? We've seen that. We've seen him fighting. We seen the girl stab him up. We seen him go for the gun, or whatever the case is. And do you feel? I want to ask you guys a question. Do you feel, because people were saying that it was self defense on her behalf, but those two grown men was having a grown man fight, right? And I get the ride or die chick, and that's his girl, and his girl pulled out the knife and poked him up. I get all that. But I feel, right, depending on how you look at it, some people look at it as, well, you know, she was protecting her boyfriend. I was actually speaking to one of my homegirls, and she was like, nah, she did the right thing. And I was like, I don't really know about that. But I feel, in my opinion, is that she upped it. She upped it. They was having a fisticuff. She stabbed him. Why couldn't it be self-defense on his behalf? Why isn't him pulling out the gun and making it even? What they say, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. I felt that if he wanted to, it was definitely something wrong with him, right? But I felt that if he wanted to kill them, that's why you have a gun. You don't have a gun to run up on somebody to argue, to fight with them again. You know what I'm saying? They got the knife. What you going to do, throw the knife at me? Nah, I'm going to stand back. I got my gun. I'm going to handle my business. I don't think that he really wanted to do anything. He was out of his mind, without a doubt, but she upped it. Let me play the video. Do y'all see the craziness that's happening in the New York City transit? Now, I want to pay it. I want you guys to pay attention for everyone who watched the whole thing, right? I want y'all to pay attention to what happened. And y'all see the number on the screen. Call in 563-999-3714. Let's discuss it. This whole situation didn't get upped until Shorty stabbed him in the back. She started poking. And she was planning it. While they were squaring up, she was in her bag digging for whatever she was digging for. And then she waited to the right time, and she went and poked them up. Now, how does the law look at that, right? How does the law look at that? Before I carry on, let me get into the first caller. Caller 8411-8411. You now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yes, good evening. Hi, Tramel.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yes, this is Naomi, and I'm calling from upstate New York. Now,
how you doing?
If you pay, I'm doing well. If you pay attention, because I'm one of the ones that believe the girl did the right thing. If you look in the video, first of all, the black guy was the aggressor. He thought they were migrants because he kept saying,
Wait, hold on. Say something real quick. Let me make sure that you could be heard. Say something.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Let me get that fixed real quick. Give me 1 second. All right, say something now.
Hello.
There you go. That's
hello,
it.
Hello. All right.
Yeah, that.
So anyway, we're gonna go into the fight. That wasn't a one-on-one fight if I'm being bullied. He was bullying that guy. So the guy got up because he had no other choice. He was backed up, and he was trying to protect himself and his girl. So he had to stand up and be a man and fight somebody. He probably was scared. But if you look, when they started tussling, once the girl stabbed him, poked him up, whatever you want to call it, and the guy said, you stabbed me, when he went to go in his pocket, something fell. When I first saw the video, I thought that might have been a gun. But the gun was in his pocket. So he did have a knife, too. He didn't pull no knife out of his back. He pulled out a knife, so he had a knife and a gun. So maybe did she see the knife or whatever?
All right.
Did she see?
All right. So if he had the knife and the gun, right? The fact of the matter is that he didn't bring out no weapon until a weapon was used on him. We
Something
can't, if he did have a
hand.
Huh?
Something was in his hand, because as he had him down, when he didn't go reach in his pocket to get a knife, when he turned around and said, you stabbed me, and he went to walk, he dropped the knife into the chair, so it had to be his hand. He grabbed something and started swinging at the guy.
I don't know. I ain't see that. Maybe I got to rewatch the video. Maybe I should replay
the video and pay
closer attention. Mm-hmm. But if he had the knife in his hand, why didn't he use it?
He was trying to. But she got him before he got her man.
I didn't hear not one person on that train say that he got a knife or they need to stop.
Look at the video.
Those people
was
paying close attention.
Rewind the video.
Yeah,
what was that dropped into the chair and it said clink?
I don't know, but I didn't hear not one person say, he got a knife, don't stab him. Like, that's what people would have said. And I didn't hear any of that during that whole scuffle. But when they seen
gun
come out.
You're right, because they were all on the floor at the other end of the train. I want you to look at the video. Something dropped. Unless he had two guns, something dropped into the seat.
They was on the floor after that gun came out, and those shots started ringing up.
Man, they've been on the floor.
That's when they got on the floor. They. If you look at the video, nobody started moving until the gun came out. But I'm gonna let you have the final word.
The just rewind the video and tell me what it was that fell into the chair that said clunk before he went into his pocket and pulled out the gun. And again, my final word is, I'm girlfriend. I would have did the same thing.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm quite sure your whoever your partner is will greatly appreciate that. I will appreciate that too. I'm just saying that she upped it and he upped it and he ended up getting the bad end of the deal. But I'm quite sure whoever you're with over there, they will be very happy that you have their back.
Well, I ain't with him right now, but nevertheless, it's always good to have a queen that has your back. And he had one that had his back. Have a good night, Tamal. Gotta go to work in the morning. Yeah.
All right, peace. All right. Let me know if y'all agree with that. I think I'm gonna play the video again. I wanna see exactly what she's talking about. But let me get to this next caller. Caller 6483, now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? What are you calling?
How you doing, Tramel? Salso Garcia, bus operator from the Bronx.
What's going on,
Salso? You were saying a lot of things you were saying were 100% right. How everyone looks the other way in certain neighborhoods, and we all know where the crime is happening and how it's happening, and it's getting out of control, I think. And that situation was an out-of-control situation. There was no help on the train, no type of protection. So imagine, put that situation in the Bronx, put that situation out in the Brooklyn or on the bus or anywhere else where there really is no police around or where precinct in the station. I don't know if the outcome would have been the same. I think it would have been even more out of control. Or if it would have been in between the trains when the train is going express on a longer stretch, you know, that's my point. And another point is that there were a lot of kids and families. As you hear the people say, there's kids on the train, and a lot of kids or families don't sign up to, you know, they're going on their trip, coming back from school, doing because of the time that happened. It makes me think of my own family, and you know that they take the public transportation, and it needs to be fixed because New Yorkers don't sign up for that, and we don't pay all these taxes to get this type of return. That's my main point, and I think that it's very important that people speak up, stand up, and not be afraid to attend your rally on May 1st. And then I also hear there's another rally on April 4th, another rally in front of Michael J. Quill Depot. So I think we should support anyone that is speaking up for all the people and not be afraid to speak up and say that we need change, not just in the Bronx, but every corner of New York City. And, you know, because this is an out-of-control situation. I want people to take themselves and put themselves in that train. Imagine if you were that person, you were in that train. How would you react? Or if you were that conductor sitting in that cab, how would you react? If you were a kid on that train, would you be traumatized for life? If you're a grandmother, if you're a person in it looked like there was a person in a wheelchair that couldn't go anywhere because it's not an accessible station. So the person had to just roll down and just hope that the shots didn't keep firing. So that's what I want. I want to see real change. I don't want to just see cosmetic changes. I don't want them to just put police and all this for 1 month or for 2 months, and then they disappear once the election is over or once they have, once people's fears calm down. It has to be a big change in everything. That's my point of view.
Thanks for calling us, also. Appreciate your point of view.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't want this to be the 80s and 90s. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, the city was out of control. And that's how it started. It started with small stuff, buildings being lit on fire, you know, all types of, like, small crimes. And it just escalated to a point that it was just, there was no way to control it. All you had to do was watch your back all the time and pray that you weren't the next one or the next person to be a victim. And that's what I want people to understand, all the way to the top, to the CEO, to the president of the company. Those could be your kids on that train. Those could be your family on that train. That could be your grandparents. That could be any normal person or coworker on that train or on that bus that could be hurt. That's the main thing I tell people. Be careful, be safe, and let's stick together and work together. Have a good day, Tramiel. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. I wanna replay that video again because she said her name was Naomi. She said that she seen the guy with a knife in his hand. I want y'all to watch this video. I'm only going to play it up until the point when it got upped. I'm just going to say when it got upped. I just want to play it to that point. Y'all let me know if y'all see something. And remember, the phone lines is open. Did y'all see something drop? Did y'all see something drop? While I had that video playing, I just got another exclusive video of a slashing. This time on Long Island Railroad, I did not have a chance to review the video yet. I'm waiting for it to process. Y'all are going to see it live right with me right now. Y'all going to see the video live with me right now. It is 1 minute and 20-something seconds. Someone just sent it to me just now, and they say a slashing just happened on the Far Rockaway Long Island Railroad train. This is earlier today. At 3:45 p.m., a slashing. The video is processed right now. What I need for you guys to do, make sure that you call in live, 563-999-3714. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure to press the like button. If you're watching on Facebook, press the like button. If you're watching on Instagram, press the like button. If you're watching on Twitter, please retweet. We're about to watch an exclusive video of a slashing on a Long Island Railroad train today, 3:45 p.m., and let's do it right now. This chaos, this anarchy is everywhere. It looked like there was another guy trying to help another guy. Another guy was on top of that guy. They said it was a slashing, but this is Long Island Railroad, right? So all of this craziness is not exclusive to New York City Transit. It's an MTA problem. This is a MTA problem. This is a New York City problem. We are having a problem with our transportation system in New York, and it's filled with violence. It's filled with crime. It's killed to be killed in New York City Transit. Let me get to this next caller. Caller 9079. You now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yo, what up, Tramiel? This is Nick, train operator, A Division. My daughter was actually
doing?
On that. What's up, brother? My daughter was actually on that train. From the video, I don't see anything, but from what she said, when the people came rushing, she was one car away. When the first girl came rushing into her car, it was stated that one of the gentlemen had a firearm. And then that's when she, you know, she got afraid and she called me or whatever. And then that's, they stopped the train at Locust Manor, and then they discharged the train there. Because at first they just said, oh, two people got cut. Then it came out, somebody had a gun, and then it's discharged the whole train right there. And I had to go pick her up from over there. So this chaos is getting too close to home. And now she's asking me, can I drive her to school in the morning? Like,
well, you're talking about the Long Island Railroad clip.
Long Island Railroad incident that happened today. She was on her way home from school.
Got it.
And now, you know, like I said, I was always concerned. Like, I was just talking to a couple of buddies of mine. We are definitely attending that rally that you're having. And this happened today, and this is way too close to home for me because my daughter's all I have. That's my baby girl.
How old is your daughter?
She's 13.
What? So that's a very traumatic experience for her to see something like that on Long Island Railroad, where they saying it was a gun. And then did she say she's seen blood or anything? Like, was it?
Nah,
did she see any injury?
She when she was getting off while I was on my way to get her to the station, she was one station away. Like, this is that, and I was on my way to get her. She said that two people had definitely gotten stabbed. And you know, she just minds her business and came down the stairs. The crazy part is I did a lot of convincing at the beginning because this is her first year riding the subway. She's been driven and picking up to school by her mom and I since kindergarten. Hey, your first year of high school, time to grow up. The subway's safe. Look, dad works down there. It's fine. And to watch all of this unfold, and she's looking at me like, Dad, I thought you said it's okay. But I'm like, yo, nothing happened to you. You've been riding the train since September, right? All right. I pay the extra because she's afraid of the train. So I pay the extra. Yo, take the Long Island Railroad home. Don't worry about it. Take the train to Long Island Railroad. Take the Long Island Railroad home. Now for this to happen on the Long Island Railroad because she wanted to avoid it on the regular train, my hands are tied. Like, I don't know what to do because now she's asking me to drive her to school every day. Like, she's afraid. I'm, you know, low-key afraid. Like, that's my daughter. MTA has to do
something. Let me ask you a question. As being an MTA worker, do you fear for your safety just being a worker in the system?
In the past years, no. But in the present, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I'm a big guy. I can defend for myself. But, you know, it was always, oh, you defend yourself. You got to worry about your job at this point. But now I'm not even worried about defending myself. I'm worried about I have nothing on me. If somebody shoots me, if somebody this, somebody that. I go to work every day, and I am afraid for my life.
I mean, that's a sad thing, you know, because we are in a bad space right now. And you, by you being afraid for your life to be, you know, you're a train operator, you know, you're working under extreme stress anyway. And just to add, you know, safety and violence with that being on your mind, how can you operate your train in a safe space knowing all this tyranny is happening? Does it play on your mind when you're actually working, like something could possibly happen on my train? And if I do something to eat, like directly to me, and I defend myself, that it's possible that I could be disciplined or even fired for even, you know, defending myself. Does that weigh in on your mind while you're working every day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then especially with the door, you know, the door is like a piece of paper. Like, you know what I mean? So I really go out of my way to avoid contact with these. Hey, if you're doing anything loud in the car, if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, there's some nights, because I'm midnights, I'm afraid to call it in because you're going to hear me through the door. So it's like this, I just let a lot of things go sometime. And it's like, hey, you're behind my door. As long as you're not smoking, hey, you're screaming, you're doing, hey, do your thing. Do your thing, because I need to make it home to mine, because I don't want to hear from OCC, oh, signal for police en route. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not dealing with that. Let's let them go ahead. You want to have the train and do whatever you want to do, you got it.
That's what I was about to ask you as far as, like, have you ever been in a situation where you do call it in and, you know, OCC say, you know, signal for police and route. How do you feel about that? Like, you're calling something in and they telling you to signal for police and route. And have you ever done that and actually had police meet you en route?
Never had police meet. No, I would be lying. There was one time. There was a gentleman. He's irate, smoking, in the car. Signal for police en route. All right, no problem. I got to a station. The police were there. So they look at me. They didn't, now, mind you, they didn't want him at the station with them. So they made him put the cigarette out and then told the conductor to close the doors. And the minute we left, he lit his cigarette right back up. And he laughed at me through the door. It was pointless.
I mean, think about that. You just basically told on somebody. And instead of them removing him from the train to at least wait for the next train, they put him back on your train and put you in a predicament to possibly be confronted by this guy. There's absolutely no accountability when it comes to NYPD and their actions. They basically is just as tyrannical as the people who's committing violations in the system because they do not see the situations or the potential dangerous situations that they put us in regarding these things.
Yeah, this is really, I try to look at it on both ends. Like, it's, I don't know, like, you know, when people ask, what do I want MTA to do? I don't have an answer. I don't know. But what I do know is they need to do something. Something better needs to be done.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think the union should do? Because we can't act like that they are not players in this. What do you think union should do?
They should put up a better fight. At least make like, even with making people aware. Like, and that's my thing. Like, I don't know if you guys get it. I know me and a couple other people get it. We get these weird text messages telling us when and it's all about buses. When the phone line is down, when the snow is this, like, we get these weird text messages about that has nothing to do with us, right? I don't know. You know, it's quite a few people that I know that get it. Like, you know, from MTA.
I get those.
Right.
I get those.
But when one of our coworkers are hurt, hey, you don't give us a text message. Hey, heads up, there was a shooting here. Hey, heads up, one of your coworkers was slashed here. Even when we're signing in, nothing about, hey, be vigilant, the guy's still not caught, he slashed one, nothing. They say nothing, it just move the train, God bless you. Like, something as little as that to make us aware. Like, hey, someone was stabbed at 14th Street, 42nd Street. My train has to go to that same station. How about making me aware of it?
Please, please hit the like button for what he just said. I've been preaching that for a very long time. The MTA have us working in the dark. They don't make us alert. Hey, you know, earlier today there was a slashing, a conductor was hurt, a train operator was hurt. Look out for this person, no description, no nothing. They have us working in the dark. And to bring relevance to what you're saying is that there was a conductor who got shot in the face with a BB gun, and the MTA did not let anybody know on that line that there was a shooting. I don't care if it was a BB gun. I don't care if it was a real gun. It was a shooting, and he had that BB pellet lodged in his nose where he had to go to the hospital. His shirt was bloody. I took him to the MTA board meeting. And I took his bloody shirt, and I had him standing next to me, and I salute him for that. And I let the MTA board have it to let them know that we are not safe. And I asked them, I said, did they let anyone on the line know that you were shot? He said, absolutely not. So this is a issue that I have with the MTA, and it's an issue that I have with Local 100 because they are not even addressing that. Why, like you said, I get these weird texts, the phone lines is down, this bus depot this, the communication system is this. I don't even know how I got signed up to that, but
exactly.
I'm signed up for it. And there's nothing about what happened in the subway. So your point is 100% valid. Now, how do you plan to overcome the situation with your daughter and helping her with her legit fear of now riding Long Island Railroad? Because her initial fear was the regular New York City Transit. Now it's Long Island Railroad. How do you overwork that as a parent and as a transit worker at the same time?
At this point, I do know tomorrow, you know, because like I said, I'm midnight. So when I get off of work tomorrow, I'm definitely going to be, instead of getting some sleep to prepare for my next day, I have to now come back to Long Island, then drive my daughter to the city to school. And I don't know if I'm going to sit and wait in my car and sleep to pick her up to bring her home, or I'm going to have to talk with her and say, hey, you know, ride the train home again. I don't know. But what I do know is I have to do something because me and mine come first.
I agree with that, man. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing that story. Very important.
No problem.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you May 1st. Please tell our coworkers to come through. Try to get as many people to come. Get them the RSVP and the link so I can get an idea of how many people coming.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you and the coworkers.
No problem. Hey, quick question.
Yes.
We have a problem. Two things. Let me make it quick because I know you got a show to do. Have you noticed that whenever a customer is attacked, they always have the video, but one of us are hurt. They very rarely have a picture of the person who did it or the video. It's just, hey, you know, one of you got assaulted. No video, no picture, no nothing, not even they don't try. And also, I just find that pretty weird. And also, and I'm sure it's going to happen now because there was no service over the weekend. Over at Main Street, right? This is how much they care about our safety. The emergency exit is broken over at Main Street. So they come down – not at Main Street, at Hudson Yards, 34th Street. They come down at least 4 to 5 times a month and graffiti every train is laid up back there. Recently, they've gotten so bold that they've done all 11 cars because, you know, the 7 lines, 11 cars. And they do a couple of trains at a time. But usually they do 4 cars, 5 cars on each train. They leave their paint rollers there. They leave everything there. They're using rollers now, like house paint. It's wild. The report has been put in 3 times for MTA to fix that emergency exit. Nothing. And every day we go, oh, they got the train again. We got to bring it all the way. It even got to a point to one time. They put an air tag on one of the trains. They duct taped it there. So they could follow the train so they can get their video. Now, mind you, all these guys have Instagram pages of their work, of when the train is going into, because you got to take it back towards Main Street. They have the videos of their trains. They're adding each other. They're laughing, high-fiving, having a good time. The train operator gave MTA the air tag saying, hey, this is, you know, you could find the person via this air tag. They just said, okay, let's leave it in the barn. They did nothing. You think that emergency exit is still fixed? Nothing. So now when people go back there to do their put-in, you have to now be vigilant. Hey, are these guys still back here? Who's back here? Like, in the running joke, I never personally seen them, but I heard from a TSS and other people, there's a guy, because emergency exit is broken, a homeless guy, he lives back there. I'm not going to vouch for and say, oh, it's true, cause I never seen him. But what I can confirm is, ask anybody in the A division, they graffiti those trains at least 4 to 5 times a month. And MTA hasn't even budged to fix that emergency exit yet. So they're coming from the top side, emergency exit, graffiti the trains. And no one says, but they did put security guards recently on the platform. What are the security guards going to do on the platform? They're not coming from the platform side. You've been notified they're coming from the emergency exit. Nothing. But let me drop a handle. Let me sneeze and, you know, overrun a station. I'm the devil's child. Hey, come down. But you're allowing your equipment to get vandalized every day, and you're doing nothing about it. It's something as simple as fixing the emergency exit so your employees can feel safe going back there to get your put in to move your train. And also, it's protecting your property because you know how much money you're spending to get these trains, get the paint off the trains. Like the lady mm-hmm. that does it over at Corona Yard, she's overwhelmed at this point. At first, she was loving the overtime. Now it's too much to where she's overwhelmed, and a lot of the times the trains just sit there in the yard until she can get to it. That's just something, you know, something to think about.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem, Jamal. You have a good
thanks
one.
Thanks for calling in, man. Look.
Yeah, all right,
thank you. All right. So I'm going to get to the other callers in a second. He made some good points. Let me tell you, he's right. Whenever something happens to an MTA worker, there's really no video. So you mean to tell me the conductor, Alton Scott, who got his neck slashed, there's absolutely no video of the person who slashed his neck. But when they had me under investigation, they had me going through about 5 different turnstiles in 4K, right? When they want to get a transit worker or you are given putting your foot in their behind, they do anything in their power to get you. But when one of us get assaulted, there's no video. When the passengers get assaulted, there's video. And then he's saying that this issue at Hudson Yards, this is where the MTA president gets on every day, right? So you got people going back there in those put-ins, right, going back there where the train operator make the train ready for service, and there's no security. What is the union doing about this? I really appreciate that caller for bringing up that issue. That's something that everyone needs to hear. Let me get to this next caller. Caller 5364, you now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Jamal. Really, really quick. I'm not on the job or anything. I'm actually calling in as a rider. So basically, I think that what needs to happen is, like, me as a person that rides a train, I am mandated by my job to come into the office, right? During COVID, I was working from home. So I think that the corporations in New York City need to step up and do their part. Yeah, you want your employees to come into the office, but the subways are not safe. I thought my saving grace would be the Long Island Railroad. That's not even safe anymore. Like, there was a slashing, which you just premiered today on your channel. That's not even safe anymore. So as just a person that takes the train every day, I don't feel safe. And also, too, it's sad to hear that the MTA does not care about their employees. I have a family member that is on the job, and it's just sad to hear, like, all of the disheartening things that goes on behind the scenes that no one else knows about, and that your callers and also you talk about it, you know? So that's just my take on it. I think that just as the riding public and the corporations, you want your employees to come into the office. You guys need to do something and start protesting also that the trains are not safe for your employees. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question, though, before you go.
Mm-hmm.
About to implement congestion pricing, which means that the subways are going to be flooded with even more people now.
And the MTA does not have the infrastructure for that.
Huh?
The MTA does not have the infrastructure for that. Currently, right now, if there's an influx because people are going to be taking the trains because of congestion pricing, the subways cannot handle that, especially what's going on right now with the crime. If there's an influx of people, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane.
I agree, and I appreciate you calling in. Do you have anything else that's on your mind?
No, that's it. I just feel like that the corporations just need to do their part. Like, they also need to do their part and put pressure on the governor. They need to put pressure on the mayor to actually make things better. And also, too, get involved with the union. That, too, because the fact that you guys as workers are not being – that you guys are undervalued, that's not cool either. Whether you're a train operator, whether you're a cleaner, whether you're a station agent, whatever you're doing – like, you need to be valued for what you're doing, because without you guys, people like me, everyday people like me, we can't get to where we need to go, period. So that's it. That's all I was calling in to say. Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. she made some valid points, you know, and it's good to hear from the writers about what's going on. But let the MTA tell the lies, right? Oh, yeah, we value our employees, and we're going to talk about the Transit Appreciation Day. Today is Transit Appreciation Day, and I felt that they did some grandstanding. They did some grandstanding. So we definitely going to touch on that in a few. Let me get to this next caller. Caller 8539. You're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's up? This is CTA Plato. I'm calling from Staten Island. It's Plato. What's going on, bro? How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm all
chilling.
Right.
What's on your mind tonight?
Yo, this is, I'm going to give you the solution right here, a good part of the solution. From all the problems that we're mostly going through as far as the assaults and everything, they need to change those turnstiles. Every day in the station, I see everybody jumping and they going through the turnstiles and all that. If they change those gates and the turnstiles, it'll make a big difference. They need to bring back from the days of old, the high wheels, you know, the high wheels that spin, they need to bring those and put those and implement those everywhere, all throughout the system. And those gates, they need to take those bars off and let and give the station agent control over that. And if they do that, even the back gates, everything, if they do that, it'd make a big difference, because most people who are committed these crimes, what are they doing? They're not paying. They're jumping. So that's all I really wanted to say.
Well,
that's our solution.
But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You saying that they jump in the gates, but what about the people who NYPD actually let through the gates?
That's
how do you feel about that?
That's another one, because I have did you see the video? I have a video of a guy is stepping over the turnstile, and he got a box in his hand, and the police officer helped assist him step over. It's nuts. It's nuts, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, I played that video. I played that video in the beginning of the show. I played that at the beginning of the show.
I didn't watch. I didn't catch you. I just caught you somewhere in the middle. But that, yo, that's horrible. And that's horrible. The standards need to be lifted. And the union, they not doing nothing. They all need to go. They all need to go. They need to get out of here. They need to be gone. They useless to us. They useless.
I agree.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Tramell. This has been going on too long. If they change these turnstiles and they bring back those high wheels and then they give the access control of the gate to leave and to come in from the station agent, you'll see a difference. Because most people, like I said, that's committing these crimes, majority of them, they jump in. They jump in and they're going through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big solution right there. That will make a big difference.
I like that idea. I like it. Hopefully they hear you. I know they're listening to the show today. So hopefully they hear you.
Yes, that's all they need to do. Once you change that, because that's how they get in and out. Like I said, I'm a CTA, so I've been with the Transit Authority for 16 years, so I've been watching and I see. If they something like changing the turnstiles, bringing those high wheels back all over the system, and giving the access gates to in control of the station agents where they control who enters and who comes out, it is a game changer. Game changer right there.
Appreciate it. Thanks for that, because it's a great idea.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest
hopefully,
of your night, man.
You could come. Hopefully, you come to our assault march, assault rally.
Yeah, I'll be there, Doctor. I'm gonna be there with bells and whistles on.
All right. Appreciate it. See you soon.
All right, brother. Later.
All right. Thank you. Let's take another caller before I continue. Caller 9079-9079. Now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's up, Jamel? It's Nick again. You asked me a question. I thought about it. You said, what can the union do, right? Do you remember, and you laughed at it also, when the nurses were going through their thing and our union stepped up and said, hey, we stand with the nurses. There was something that wasn't even in New York, and the union stood with those guys too. Isn't this a time, especially with congestion pricing coming along, and now the union has changed their mind and not on board with congestion pricing? Isn't this the time to build alliance with the other unions, saying, hey, NYPD, your guys are about to get, because we all know NYPD is against it. The firefighters, we all know they're against it. The nurses, the teachers, they're all being they're all being loud about it now, saying, hey, we're against this. This is going to hurt our members. Why is our union not forming an alliance with these people right now and to combat this and say, hey, okay, hey, let's be friends. Let's do this. Maybe I can get you a meeting with Libra. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. How about we all come together and then we all withhold our COAT money? We all withhold our money. We're not endorsing Hochul. We're not endorsing anybody until we get a proper solution. It's the same thing. I don't know if you remember, I called back months ago when you had the issue, and I was like, it's an easy fix. Like we were talking about lobbyists and lobby day and all that good stuff. When you go around lobby, hey, respectfully, we're going to go to lobby day. We're going to talk to everybody and fight. But I cannot give you any of this money until you do this. It's the same thing, like I said, with our people, you know, getting rights done for black people. I said, hey, nothing against Walmart, but we all know Walmart has hundreds and hundreds of lobbyists. Yo, we're not going to Walmart. We are all people of color. We're not going to Walmart until you use your lobbying power to get laws in place for my people. The union can do something as simple as that. Get other unions on their side, and we can boycott something saying, hey, we're not doing this, we're not doing X. Or even if you don't want to get too political, okay, cool. None of us who formed an alliance are not giving you a dime of money so you can campaign. Not a dime until you do something about congestion pricing and then use that as a catalyst to move on and go forward. And hey, we're not giving you a dime until you do this, until you do that, to make our people, because it's not just MTA workers, other city workers ride the train. So we only can imagine how they're feeling.
I want to answer that question. So the reason why the union is not making allies with NYPD, firefighters, sanitation, teachers, and other working class people is because the union tried to sell them out. Remember, the union first, when congestion pricing was first pitched, they was all for congestion pricing, and they was in it for their own selfish reasons, because it was supposed to create more service, more trains. And the way that the union looked at it was that, well, if it's more service, more bus service, bus redesign, more trains, that's more workers, that's more union money for them to splurge on, right? So they wasn't thinking about FDNY, NYPD, sanitation, and they know that. They know that. So what ended up happening is that TWU ended up being in the island by themselves. If you look at it, all the other factions in the city really come together and support each other. Who comes with transit workers for anything? Who supports transit workers for anything? Right now, as far as the COAT money and politicians and withholding COAT money, I 100% agree with that. This union is so in bed with the Democratic Party, with management. The only way that we could get out of it is if we get a whole new administration with a whole new ideology. This Stand United ideology that has been in place since 2009, so we're talking about 15 years, has destroyed this union and virtually made it unrecognizable from what Mike Quill built. And we are in a real danger zone right now if we do not hold our current union administration accountable. And to take a step back about the COAT money, yeah, we are relying on a union administration who's in bed with all these guys to withhold COAT money. The people who got to withhold the COAT money is us. If we don't give them no COAT money to spend, they can't do no business with no politicians.
Right.
And they claim, oh, we need the COAT money, we need this to talk to politicians. How you think we got bills passed? Name what bills that we got passed within the past 15 years since Stand United, a.k.a. Members First, a.k.a. Management First, been in power that benefited us workers. They went with all these different assault bills. These assault bills are not deterring people from assaulting us, and these assault bills are not putting people who assault us in jail. Right? So what we have to do is that we have to withhold our COAT money. So any transit workers that's out there, look at your paycheck. I think it says Transportation Workers Union. That's how it's abbreviated on your check, right? They take whatever you signed up for. A lot of people don't even remember signing up for COAT.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you first come to the MTA, like my first day, I think it was at 180 Livingston or wherever they was taking
correct.
Deductions
they
out
give
at.
You the card.
Maybe the union hall. Your mind is so spinning so fast that you happy to get the job, and then they taking money before you even have a chance to make money, right? This is a fact.
Yeah.
And a lot of people with 10 years on the job, even 5 years on the job, they don't even know if they signed in the COAT or not. A lot of people don't even read their paychecks. They look at they pay stub, and they look at how much money that they got paid for the 2 weeks, and they be like, you know what, it looks right. It looks right, and they don't even pay attention to the deductions and things like that. Maybe I need to do a show explaining the deductions on the paycheck and what it looks like and things of that nature.
No one's gonna know magically how to stop it. They're not gonna. Oh, that's a payroll issue. You got to call payroll. Payroll is gonna tell you
The way that you stop it is that you got to send an email to the Secretary Treasurer of the union and tell them that you want to opt out of COAT. And if you don't opt out of, if they don't opt you out of COAT, then you could take them to the Department of Labor and things of that nature.
Well, definitely, I guess, put that message out, because I'm sure there's a couple of people who don't know how to stop it.
Well, do me a favor, bro. Send me an email, progressiveaction100. Send me an email. Give me your number, and let's talk about it, because this needs to be a team effort to withhold this COAT until the union start acting right and putting us forward. So, yeah, just send me an email, and we can work on it behind the scenes.
Will do. And one more thing that I, you know, this is me thinking the union could do. I don't know if you remember, as per rule, you know, we're going to use transit rules against them. When the conductor gets in his car, he's supposed to check two cars, the adjacent cab and their cab. Train operator inspects their cab, you know, with the snow block and all that good stuff. If we do those as collectively, and the union should come in and enforce these things, collectively, because there's plenty of times a train pulls into Flatbush before the other crew gets off. Ding, we got lights. So you have no real time to inspect anything. And I'm sure other busy terminals, you know, on your side, that happens all the time. If we do little things, and they, you know, because Troll's going to ask, why is that train leaving the terminal? Why is the terminal backed up? Hey, I was inspecting my cab. As per your rule, mm-hmm. I got to do those little things, because we're not doing anything. We're not slowing down service. We're just making sure your train is safe. Hey, there's somebody laying on the floor of my cab. I can't move this train. Like, we have to use their rules against them, little things like that, and our union speaks up and be loud about it. Just maybe they'll say, hey, you know what, let's change something, because now these people are waking up and playing the game with us. Just something as simple as that is going to delay service. It's going to, and we all know that Flatbush corridor with those twos and those fives getting into the station, if there's any kind of hiccup, you could forget about it. Something as little as that, or something as little as, hey, you know what, for 1 week, the union needs to promote, for 1 week, nobody do overtime. No extra trip, no extra layup. No nothing, no RDO, just for 1 week. It's not going to hurt us, because, okay, what are you really missing in 1 week worth of overtime? Like, come on, bro, you could do that. 1 week of no overtime to see how transit handle it. We have to let them know that they need us. Just as, you know, there's a lot of people, we need them. Like, Lord knows I need my job, but we have to make ourselves relevant. Transit, yes, you bid me a salary, but just guess what? You're nothing without me. Nothing without me. So we need to do these little things together. It will wake transit up.
I agree with you, bro. No argument for me.
And, you know, this is something our union needs to get us together on. But, you know, they're just sitting and, you know, watching everything go by, which is scary, man.
I agree. I agree, man. I'm looking forward to chopping it up with you behind the scenes.
I'm going to email you literally right now. You got that type of energy that
I like to work with, so we go build behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to email you in the next 10 minutes.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right, have a good one, bro.
All right. I love when my coworkers call from my department and they got that type of energy that he has. I'm looking forward to building with him. Looking forward to it. Make some things happen. And we thinking along the same lines, so that's great. That's great. We're going to get the job done. Now let's talk about Transit Appreciation Day. Did you guys feel appreciated today? I've seen a whole bunch of complaining. Oh, these muffins are not. They Costco bought. Listen, I love Costco. I love Costco muffins, man. I love Costco blueberry muffins. You know, I love Costco blueberry muffins. So, hold on one second. Let me fix this real quick. Hold on one second. I love Costco blueberry muffins. But y'all was complaining. I seen somebody say, hey, they gave us cold pizza. And they didn't give us no plates. We had to hold our pizza with paper towels and all that stuff going on for Transit Appreciation Day. Listen, they tried. They tried to do something, right? Yeah, you could tell when somebody don't want to do something. That was one of those situations where they didn't really want to do it. They said, hey, let's just give them something for whatever. It's Transit Appreciation Day. Let's give them some donuts. Let's give them some cold pizza. Let's give them hot bottles of water. Let's do something. But this is the problem I have with the Transit Appreciation Day. Let's take a look at this. You had President Richard Davey, and it says on National Transit Employee Appreciation Day, MTA New York City Transit boss Richard Davey, who spent early a.m. at the bus depot, joins conductors on the 7 line to recognize the great job that they do. Now, let me say something about this. Looks so foolish. This is not how you appreciate transit workers. This is not what you do. This looks silly, right? This looks silly. This looks foolish. Let's keep it a buck. This looks foolish, right? You got Richard Davey or Davy. I need to see him to ask him, what is his last name? I don't know. Richard, I don't mean no disrespect. I want to be clear. I mean no disrespect. I don't know if it's Davy or Davy, right? But this is what I want to say. The crew office must have been very nice to him that they put him on a 7 line, coincidentally with the line that he lives on. That don't happen to rookies. He's a rookie conductor. He's a rookie conductor. That doesn't happen, right? But this looks foolish, right? And it gets worse. It gets worse because there's a video of Jan Oliva cleaning up a station. Let's take a look at that. Let me make sure this is it. Let's take a look at this. Check this video out. My boy Jano looked lost in the sauce. I'm going to play this video one more time. He looked lost in it. You could tell. Look how he held that broom. Look how he was sweeping up whatever he was sweeping. You could tell he ain't touched a broom in probably like 65 years. He didn't even know how to hold the broom. You could tell that Jan Oliva does no cleaning in his home. Does no cleaning in his home. It's actually condescending to see that. Like, that's not what you do. You're a CEO. Richard Davey, you the president. You want to appreciate transit workers or Transit Appreciation Day? First of all, you should appreciate your workers 24/7. Let's make that clear. Right? Let's make that clear. Transit Appreciation Day should not be a one-day thing. If you want to appreciate transit workers, fix the discipline process. It shouldn't have to be negotiated. You want to appreciate transit workers, Make a real reasonable accommodation for pregnant women on the job. You want to appreciate transit workers? Give us the raises that we deserve. You want to appreciate transit workers? Fix our health care. You want to appreciate transit workers? Make a concerted, tangible effort to make us feel safe at work. That's what you could start to do to appreciate transit workers. Dismantle the Labor Relations Department and create more of an HR environment for transit workers. How we don't have a real HR department for hourly workers? That's on the union side. You guys don't appreciate us, and we're not going to allow one day to come. I mean, look at this video. Look how Jan Oliva is holding this broom. You literally could tell that man never touched the broom. I'm telling you, he may have been 65 years since the last time he touched the broom. He looked crazy. He looked crazy. Right? If you want to appreciate transit, as a matter of fact, they had the opportunity. Let's think about this, people. They had the opportunity to appreciate us transit workers. And you know what they could have done? They could have gave us hazard pay. They don't appreciate us. This is strictly 100% propaganda. This is BS. This guy, this was embarrassing. This was embarrassing. That was very, very, very embarrassing. I'm going to just play it one more time. Look at the first 4 seconds of this video, and look at Jan Oliva holding that broom. I'm telling you guys, he never touched a broom for the past 65. It was the Cold War the last time he touched a broom. Check it out. I'm serious. I'm so serious. Who the hell holds a broom like that? Who holds a broom like that? That is wild, wild, wild crazy. But they look foolish. They look foolish. I mean, Richard Davi, I don't know what's going on, but this is not how you appreciate transit workers. This is actually a smack in our face. For you guys to be bosses, the CEO and the president, if you want to really appreciate us, do the right thing. Do the right thing. You guys have no intentions on doing the right thing. This next piece I'm going to go on is from Donald Yates. Donald Yates, I mean, Donald, you should call me so I could give you some pointers on how to do your videos, because you're trying, and I hate to see you fall and fail. Give me a call, brother. Let me help you out with your videos, because you're all over the place. And you're lying, too. You're lying, too. Let me play this clip from Donald Yates that he put out there today, because we're going to discuss this. Check it out. Now, listen to what Donald Yates had to say. He said basically, if you want to appreciate transit workers, keep us safe, right? Donald Yates, what is the union responsibility with keeping members safe, right? The same thing that you're asking the TA for, we're asking you guys for, right? For two, you're saying that there's a workplace violence law, which means that the MTA is virtually breaking the law, but you guys are afraid to break the Taylor law. So the MTA is not afraid to break the law, but the union administration is afraid to break the law. And if the MTA is breaking the law or not following the law, why haven't you guys taken the MTA to court? Because we had shootings. Like I said, these are our offices. These buses, these trains, these platforms, they are our offices, right? There's no taking them to court. You had a conductor slash his neck, conductor stabbed in the back. train operator punched in the face, multiple acts of violence on workers, and you're claiming that there's a workplace violence law, but you guys are not holding the MTA accountable for it. Now, I want to touch on also what accompanied this video. Donna Yates also had this to say, right? And this is very interesting, and I want to talk about this. Checking in at Michael J. Quill, safety check information with the TWU safety team and Map Store, TWU reps from Manhattan and the Bronx. Side note, I addressed the New York City Transit president on keeping our operators safe and that we're serious about our operator safety. I also addressed the full enclosure of the operator's compartment, which accompanied disagreements over the use of the e-mirror and our concerns. I addressed New York City Transit president over his comments in the New York Times over the safety stand down on the A-train and the quote he said about our TWU president saying he promised not to do it again. I informed Mr. Davey that we stand behind Local 100 President Richard Davis and didn't appreciate the lying comments that he said our president said. Davey's response that he said the stand down wouldn't be in the afternoon. My response was that they quoted you saying something different, that it wouldn't happen again. I repeated that we didn't appreciate the misuse of words, and we want our people safe, period, which is New York City Transit MTA responsibility. What the hell is he talking about? What is he talking about? So you went to the MTA. I mean, Richard Davey came to the depot, and you told him that basically I won't be tolerating this. Why are you telling Richard Davey anything when he said it, where Richard Davis should be making this clear? Why didn't the union put out something officially on the union website calling Richard Davey a liar? Why didn't y'all do that? He went into the New York Times and said that they told me they would never do this again. Now, a problem that I have with what you said, and let me put it back on the screen, is that Davey's response was that he said the stand down wouldn't be in the afternoon. So wait, let me get this clear. Richard Davey is telling you guys when you could create a job, I'm going to say a job action, but when you guys could do a safety stand down? Richard Davey is in control of that? Oh, we said we won't do it in the afternoon. What are we talking about? So it's obvious that you guys are in collusion with management when you guys can be activists. Listen, Donald Yates said it, not me. Donald Yates said it, not me. So you said all this stuff to Richard Davey, but there's nothing officially coming from Richard Davis, the union president. You guys are out of control. Flag on the play. I need to have me. I gotta get me a yellow flag. I gotta get me one of those flags that the referees, NFL refs. I gotta have me a flag. Flag on the damn play. Why do they take us as fools? Why do they take us as fools? Richard Davis, the Local 100 president, should have came out with a statement. I believe that Richard Davey told Richard Davis that, because I believe, and it's my opinion, that Richard Davey helped Richard Davis out during the last contract with all the situation that he was having. I believe that. Because something just isn't right. Something ain't right. And as vocal as Richard Davis is, and they put in ads in the newspaper talking about Jano Lieber and what's his name? Alvin Bragg or Clowns or whatever it was, but you say nothing. Why you guys are afraid to talk about Richard Davey and Donald Yates? If Richard Davey embarrassed us in the New York Times, a very prominent newspaper in this city, if you said all of that to Richard Davey, why didn't you record it? Why did you say this? Like, you want us to believe what you said? Absolutely not. First of all, though, you embarrassed us again. Oh, he said that it wasn't supposed to be in the afternoon, which shows me that y'all was having conversations of when this was supposed to happen. Say, hey, you know, you could protest or do whatever you need to do, but don't do it during this time because we don't really want to affect no riders. That's what that's saying. You guys are out of your minds. Out of your minds. Now, what I need for the people to do, we spoke about a lot today, and it was an amazing, amazing conversation today, right? We got to address this COPE situation. We have to address the workplace safety. We had a train operator call in and say his daughter, and I want to play that video again, that his daughter was on a train where there was a slash and they said it was a gun, and this is Long Island Railroad, and he put her on Long Island Railroad because it is more safer than New York City Transit, but there's obvious problems in the MTA period in transportation, right? Maybe these incidences happen more often than not than we are aware of. We just not getting videos. And another thing is that all of these crimes, people, they want to put cameras in the cabs. They want to put cameras throughout the trains. When things happen, people pull out their phones and record. These people do not care if they are being recorded while committing a crime. They don't even care. And I want to show y'all this video again that I just got today of an alleged slashing on a train, but it was also reported from someone who called in that there was a possible gun involved. So I want to play that again. This anarchy is happening all over this transit system, all over this transit system. And it has literally become a killed or be killed situation inside our transportation agency. And what are we to do? What are we to do? They don't want us carrying mace. They don't want us carrying stun guns. They didn't even want us to wear masks during COVID. This shows you this type of company that we work for, right? And us as union members, we are not organized enough to even operate as Peru. Everyone have their own agenda down here, right? The union did not invest enough time into us members to show us what a union is, how we're supposed to operate, and the power of when we stick together, and how powerful we can be when we align ourselves with the riding public. Yes, there's only 40,000 TWU members in the union, but it could possibly be millions of us if we was to make ourselves allies with the riding public, because we have issues that cross each other, that align with each other. Safety being number one. The union did not do, the union administration did not put enough time and effort in to organize and mobilize us. That's one of the main reasons we are in the situation that we are in now. That's one of the reasons why you will see people calling to the show and that I have never spoken to before or I don't even know. We have workers and riders calling in, voicing their opinion. If you look at the comments after the broadcast go off or even in some of the live rooms, you will see that people align with what we're saying. They think that we dumb, but if they read in these comments, they know that we're not dumb. And two, they know that the members are becoming engaged and waking up. And they looking at progressive action as being a beacon of light for them. Right? And we're going to continue to advocate for what's right for workers and riders over here at Progressive Action. That's why we're doing our annual assault rally. We haven't done it since COVID. But there's no better time than now to address these issues that we have going on in New York City Transit. We are not safe riding the MTA. So our rally is going to be on May 1st at 12 p.m. in front of 2 Broadway. This is for the riders. This is for strap hangers. This is for the workers. This is for the community. This is for politicians. We're asking to stand with us. as a transit community, because we are a community. Whether we workers, whether we riders, we are a community, and we must stand together. What I need for you guys to do is that in the description of this video, you will see a RSVP Facebook link. Hit that link and just let me know that you're coming. That's it. Just let me know that you're coming. I just need a count because NYPD go hit my phone and say, hey, you're having a rally, this, that, what you got going on, how many people you expecting, and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And I'm just going to send them the link to say, yeah, I have X amount of people coming, and this is what we're doing. Like I said, we've done this for the past four or five years, right? We have done this. And we want to make this one huge. We want to make this one huge. We want everybody to come out. Workers, riders, tell a friend. My email is progressiveaction100@gmail.com. Email me. Let me know that you want to be involved. I will send you the flyer. You could get flyers printed out yourself. Next week, I'm going to have flyers made. We're going to get this done. We're going to do this the right way. We have the experience. We've done this before, and the events is always phenomenal. We want you guys involved. This is our issue as a community of riders and workers. This is our issue. If the politicians is not listening to us, if the DAs are not listening to us, if the MTA is not listening to us, if our union is not listening to us, we must take action by organizing and mobilizing. We are stronger when we come together. We are. We are. That would never go out of style. We are stronger when we come together. And what I need for you guys to do, please share out this live. If you're watching right now, please hit the like button. Very important. Please hit the like button. If you definitely fill in what we bring into the table, you could donate via Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. You could send in super chats right now via YouTube. You could join the channel for only 99 cents a month. 99 cents a month. That's all to join the YouTube channel. If you're watching on Facebook, send in stars. Twitter, hit that Cash App. And we'll catch you guys real soon on the next broadcast. Make sure you share it out. Thanks for everyone for watching. Thanks for the callers. I appreciate you guys. Peace.